Gift from God. Written by Chocolate Pot and recorded by Tipsy Kitty. Fandom, our flag means death. One customer that evening keeps catching Ed's eye. It's not that there's anything wrong with her, or like she's one of those drop-dead gorgeous femme fatale types everyone stares at, thinking they must be models or movie stars. She's a normal kind of pretty, cute and soft and disarming. It's that she's alone. Ed's seen a lot of women who come to the restaurant alone, dolled up like she is, waiting at their table for, almost inevitably, a man. Usually anxious and self-conscious, looking around because they know everyone knows they're waiting, worrying about whether he'll turn up. She's seen a fair few get stood up. They get turfed out at the half-hour mark. It's nothing personal. BLK's just in too much demand to let a table not be filled. And they're always devastated. Sometimes crying, sometimes angry. But the surface-level emotion is underpinned by the shame of knowing that someone deliberately left them there to face the night and BLK's staff alone. This woman isn't like that. When she was seated, she ordered a sidecar, which she sips while perusing the menu and ordering. She's very obviously just there to dine by herself. After a short while looking around at the other diners, who all avoid her eyes, she pulls a fucking book out of her purse and cheerfully starts reading it. Izzy wants to throw her out for that. It wouldn't be the most ridiculous thing they'd thrown a paying customer out for. Definitely in line with the whole BLK brand. But Ed pretends she thinks the woman's an up-and-coming reviewer for the Times, so they have to let her get through her dinner. There is every chance Ed will comp it in a few hours as a suave and gentlemanly move. She can't watch this customer all night. It's not like she needs to do much cooking anymore. Just a touch here and there. Hardly even needs to supervise her kitchen. But she has to dip in and out of the dining room like she has anything to do to keep herself busy. She ends up drinking a lot of water for something to do, which means she has to pee like twice as much as usual. Which is actually a blessing, as it gives her a reason to walk through the dining room. Once she crosses paths with the woman, who makes eye contact with her and smiles, nearly giving Ed a heart attack as she tries to pull together a normal smile and nod back. The bathroom is all black, fitting with the general theme of the restaurant. The mystery woman is dressed in gold, and Ed's realized with a jolt earlier that against the black upholstery, tablecloths, wallpaper, and so on, she looks kind of like that bit in Fantasia with the graceful goldfish swim dancing in dark waters. This is extremely cool, but it also means that people drop things like key fobs and thumb drives and whatever and don't notice them against the matte tiles. Her staff are very used to doing sweeps of the floors periodically to pick up any lost items to present to irate customers who are locked out of their cars. Ed doesn't really do that herself anymore. But when she sees something plastic that's knocked into a corner, she stoops and picks it up. It's not immediately clear what the thing is. It's just a kind of rounded diamond shape, black with a single button on it. Clicking the button does nothing. Pressing and holding it, though, gives a little buzz and makes a tiny blue light come on. Interesting. As Ed leaves the toilets, she hefts the object in one hand. It's light, but it has a bit of weight to it for such a small thing. Expensive, probably. Now that it's on, when she presses the button, there's a tiny bit of haptic feedback in response. But nothing really happens. Well, nothing Ed can see, anyway. Maybe she's unlocking a car somewhere on the street. She strolls along, idly clicking as she goes. The feedback is nice, kind of soothing. It could just be a very, very fancy stim toy, she reckons. Like a high-speed fidget spinner for rich assholes. And it's nice to have something soothing, because as she crosses back into the dining room, Izzy's breathing down her neck. The bitch with the book is emptying her fucking purse onto the fucking table, she seethes, way more hacked off than is necessary. You've got to toss her, Ed. Izzy is, Ed sighs. Let me just, I don't know, fucking talk to her. Avoiding Izzy's protests that not throwing the mystery woman out would lead to the end of BLK and a vague threat to quit, she heads directly over to the woman's table, clicking a few more times to chill herself out for good measure. This is actually a fabulous stroke of luck. She can offer to help with whatever's going on, and use that as an opening to, you know, see where things go. The woman is definitely going through something. Ed's never seen anyone who came in as put together and self-assured as she was turn so freaked out without an unexpected proposal or a phone call about someone dying or something like that. BLK is just not the place for anything but calm dinners where smug rich people can congratulate themselves for spending way too much on their food. Hopefully, she's not going to turn out to be too pissed off. Ed's always been good at playing the temperamental genius chef, but very bad at dealing with front-of-the-house shit unless everyone's in a good mood. Hello, ma'am? She hazards, and the woman looks up with wide eyes and pink cheeks from the pile of linty receipts and lipsticks and handkerchiefs. Like, literal fabric handkerchiefs, edged with lace. She's sorting through on the table. I trust everything is satisfactory. Hmm? Oh, yes, yes! The woman laughs a little maniacally, her hands fluttering over her things. Everything's lovely. The atmosphere in here is terrific, just like all the reviews say. I'm really... You should let your boss know. Pass my compliments to the chef. Or, no, I haven't had any food yet, but the cocktail was excellent. She's charmingly confused, and Ed is charmed. Okay, she responds to all that, and slides into the chair on the opposite side of the table. Huh, these aren't very comfortable, are they? Looks slick as hell, but not exactly something you can relax into. Apart from the food and service and whatever the fuck, are you all right? Trying to find something? I'm Ed, by the way. Maybe she's trying to find her wedding or engagement ring. Because Ed can see she's not wearing one. Steed, the woman says. That's me, I mean, my name. She suddenly rocks forward a bit in her chair, her gold dress shimmering with the motion, and swallows down something. Her gold-painted fingernails shine against the black cloth as she clutches at the edge of the table. Is she actually sick? That would be shit, but maybe a nice sweet cute story. Which is an objectively insane way to look at the situation, but Ed can't help it. She goes on when she has control again. Yes, I did lose something. Then she says nothing, but goes pinker. Okay, Ed says, slower this time. So, what is it? Steed. So nice to have a name to put to the face, and it's a cute name, isn't it? Presses her lips together like she's setting that red, red lipstick, and takes a breath through her nose. Have you ever heard of dating yourself? That's such a bizarre question that Ed can't even place the concept for a long moment. Finally, she collects herself. Yeah, like going on dates with herself, right? Yes, exactly. So I sort of heard about it in the context of, well, trying to love yourself so that you're open to romantic relationships. If you can become more self-assured, then, people will see you as... Oh, right. More confident and sexy. That makes sense. So, you're single? Steed nods distractedly. But she doesn't seem inclined to go on. Which is a bitch, because Ed's on tenterhooks now to know what the fuck this has to do with anything. And she needs to know because Steed is single. Definitely a meet-cute story to tell other couples. Not that Ed knows other couples. Her only real social outlet is Izzy. And is maybe why she's so quickly become obsessed with Pretty Goldfish Steed, nobly suffering by herself in the middle of a crowded restaurant until Ed came to her rescue. Steed seems like she might have an actual social life, though. So, she goes on eventually, I've been doing it for a while, and it doesn't seem to work. For me, anyway. That's even more insane than Ed's determination to turn this into a rom-com. How does Steed go around in the world and not receive marriage proposals at every turn? Oh, yeah? She manages to say, like this is a normal conversation. Well, sometimes I get men who ask me out, but I don't want to date men. She shifts in her seat again, wriggles a little, and gasps. And so many different parts of Ed's brain are lighting up that she feels like fireworks are going off in there. Steed doesn't want to date men. Presumably does want to date women. And she actually seems kind of really turned on, doesn't she? Just from chatting to Ed? That can't possibly. But that's what the writhing and the lip biting is about, isn't it? So I thought that maybe I should take things up another level. She laughs a little breathlessly and glances around to make sure that nobody's paying too close attention. Ed does the same, glaring to the left and right and daring anybody to fuck this up for her. They both lean in at the same moment, and Steed's volume drops to a strong whisper. So I wore a toy. Her eyes dart downward and then back up to Ed's, pleading for understanding and lack of judgment. And Ed gives them both to her wholeheartedly. So Steed has come to her restaurant to date herself with a dildo. That is the most understandable thing in the world. That is, in fact, a gift from God. If Ed believed in a God, which up until this moment she has not. That's cool, she says, in a way that she hopes conveys her understanding and lack of judgment. And not the fact that she's now imagining Steed sitting there naked, plush curves on display, rocking back and forth in ecstasy. And the thing is, Steed goes on, it has a controller thing, and I wasn't actually going to use it here. In BLK, I mean. Ms. Teach is a culinary genius. To disrespect. Anyway, I just liked having it. The thought that I could. Oh. She thinks Ed's a culinary genius. Yes, hundreds of magazines and reviews have said the same thing, but it suddenly means more. And then it turned on. I thought maybe it hit something in my purse, but it's not in there, so I must have lost it somewhere. And now somebody's using it. For a moment, Ed doesn't get it, hung up on the thought of Steed being teased with a vibrator in public. And how much she'd like to be the one with the controller, taking her out on a date and getting her all worked up. And then the neurons start connecting again and she flushes hard, eyes going wide and hands scrabbling in her pockets. Fuck, 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 oh shit! There's the thing. And one good long push to the button gives another little buzz to her thumb, and then the light goes out. And Steed heaves an epic sigh of relief. Oh my god. It takes Steed a moment to put it all together, and then she looks at the sleek oblong in Ed's hands with horror. Oh my god, she echoes, and somehow she gets even redder than she already was. Oh my god, I'm so sorry. No, I'm sorry, I didn't, shit, I just thought it was some kind of, I mean, why would you? I shouldn't have, no, it's totally cool. Just please don't tell the owner, Steed begs desperately. This is so much worse than some of the things I've heard of people being chucked out of here over. Oh, what a fantastic opening. Ed leans back a bit, regaining her cool. Don't worry about that, babe. I'm the owner. It takes Steed even longer to regain a semblance of cool, and it's more of a semblance of ladylike poise anyway. Her breathing slows down but gets deeper, giving her bust a dramatic roll Ed can't help but drop her eyes to. Oh, she says finally. That's... oh. Fuck. Is she freaked out in a bad way? Ed just wanted to impress her. Tell you what, she tries. Dinner's on the house tonight. Whatever you want, I'll compt. Oh, that's very kind, but you don't have to... And, of course, Ed's got the controller in her hand still, and she can't just drop it on the table and make Steed pick it up in front of everyone. That's not gallant. Maybe she can wrap it in a napkin, much more subtle. And she starts to do it when Steed puts out her hand. Or, she says, and her tongue darts out, pink against her red lipstick. Why does red lipstick look so good on blondes? You could, keep hold of that for me. When she makes eye contact again, head suddenly struck by how bold her gaze is, compared to the wobble she had before. There's still a softness underneath it, though. A tender underbelly that could be stabbed by someone unkind. And Ed's well aware that she's basically been handed a knife, and that Steed is saying she trusts her not to use it. Well, use it contrarily to expectations, anyway. As Ed slowly retrieves the controller from the napkin and returns it to her pocket, she smiles gently at Steed to say, "Your trust isn't misplaced, babe." And Steed sits up straighter, her own smile beaming. Perhaps this is a good meet-cute story after all. The end. Can't take my eyes off of you. You be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last love has arrived. And I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Caught in the way that I stand.